Welcome to episode 48 of the Mayberry Devotional entitled Making an Omelette. In today's episode, I'm going to look at episode 13 of season 2 of The Andy Griffith Show, The Farmer Takes a Wife, and I'll use scripture from Matthew 26, verses 33 and 34. At this, Peter exclaimed, "Even if everyone should lose his faith in you, I never will." "I tell you, Peter," replied Jesus, "that tonight, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." As the episode opens, we see Jeff Pruitt coming into town. As he enters the courthouse, we learn that Jeff has come into town to find a wife. Andy seems surprised, figuring that Jeff would marry his farming neighbor, Bertha. Jeff admits that he likes Bertha, and even admits that when it comes to picking tobacco, well, she can always best him. Jeff goes on to describe the woman that he wants for a wife, though, and he says she's got to be somebody, well, more ladylike, and he calls her soft and squishy. He figures that it'll only take him a couple days to find a wife. However, Andy tries to break it to him and that it might take a little bit longer than that. But Jeff doesn't listen, and he heads out to find the future Mrs. Pruitt. Later, we see Opie come into the courthouse, and he tells Andy that he's seen Jeff outside picking up women. Turns out that Opie means that Jeff is literally standing outside picking up women and putting them down. This confuses Opie a bit, and Andy, well, he has to go put a stop to it. Andy then decides to take Jeff home and hopes that maybe Aunt Bee will have some words of wisdom for Jeff. While Jeff is eating lunch with Aunt Bee and Andy, Aunt Bee gives some advice on women and tells him that sometimes it takes people up to a year to decide on marriage, which, well, that doesn't sit well with Jeff. Shortly after finishing lunch and while sitting around chit-chatting, you know, Lydia doesn't like to chit-chat. She doesn't mind normal conversation, but she hates the chit-chat. Oh, I'm sorry, that's another episode. Let's get back to Jeff. After lunch, Barney comes in and he tells Jeff that he knows a way for them to meet some women. Thelma Lou is having a hen party at her house that evening, and Barney comes up with this idea of Jeff casually coming over with Barney to visit Thelma Lou, and they'll act like they don't know what's going on. So later that evening, Barney stops by Thelma Lou's house with Jeff and Andy, and they try to act surprised when they see a house full of women. Jeff gets introduced to everyone, and after a while, he picks out one in the crowd. Barney is called on to make the introduction, and, well, turns out it's Thelma Lou who Jeff likes. The next day at the courthouse, Barney is expressing his aggravation toward Andy for not stopping Barney from helping Jeff. Andy then tells Barney that he needs to talk to Jeff and explain things to him about his and Thelma Lou's relationship. Meanwhile, over at Thelma Lou's house, we see Jeff has come to court Thelma Lou. Barney pulls up, and when Jeff leaves, we see that he has a talk with Jeff, just to learn that, well, Jeff thinks he's got the upper hand on Barney because he's already asked Thelma Lou to marry him, when Barney never has. Barney then goes on to explain things to Thelma Lou about their relationship. The next day at the courthouse, Barney's explaining how he got things worked out, and when Andy notices that Jeff is walking Thelma Lou down the street, Andy has to stop Barney from trying to pick a fight with Jeff and ends up going to talk to Thelma Lou. While there, Andy comes up with a plan, you might say, to city-fy Jeff. Andy and Aunt Bee, they try to give Jeff some lessons on proper etiquette, and the next day, Jeff goes to visit Thelma Lou. She feeds Jeff some finger foods for dinner, which Jeff thinks is just an appetizer, and, well, he's not really impressed with them. Andy then comes in and explains to Jeff that he's found a house for him in town, and that he's got some jobs lined up for Jeff. Thelma Lou explains to Jeff that, well, she's not the type of girl that lives on a farm, and when she picks out a job for Jeff, it appears that he's had all that he can take. From wearing a tie to wearing a suit to working indoors and trying to hold a cup and saucer on your leg, Jeff just couldn't take it anymore. He storms out of the house only to run into Barney, who's ready to fight Jeff for Thelma Lou. When Jeff continues to storm out, Barney thinks that he's bested Jeff for Thelma Lou's attention. The epilogue shows Barney and Andy standing outside, and Barney's bragging about how, you know, when you want something, you've just got to stand up for it and not use force. We then see Joe Walters as he pulls up to the courthouse and he parks in the sheriff's parking spot. When Barney tries to make Joe move, we see that Joe, he's getting kind of aggravated with Barney and he's about to get physical with him until Andy kind of makes his presence known. And Barney again, he thinks he's the one that's got things done by just being firm with Joe. I want to take some time to think about today and our idea we're looking at. It's going to be overconfidence. In our episode, we see that Jeff Pruitt, as he comes into town, he's only going to spend a couple days looking for a wife. He tells Andy that he's strong. You know, he tells him how good looking he is. And, you know, he talks about how good of a farm he has. All these reasons he gives is why he thinks it'll only take him 2 days to find a wife. If you were to look up overconfident in the dictionary, well, I think you'd probably see a picture of Jeff Pruitt. When Jeff goes to visit Thelma Lou, you know, although he doesn't come out and say it, I think he's expecting her to be as excited to marry him as really as he is to marry her. Later in the episode, we see Andy sitting down with Jeff, and he tells him that there's a possibility that Thelma Lou might not want to marry him. When Jeff hears this news, it's like somebody told him there's no Santa Claus. And for the record, don't worry, there is a Santa Claus. And when Jeff finally goes to Thelma Lou's house for dinner, he starts to get the idea that Thelma Lou's trying to change him, and all the confidence that he had really just goes away when he finally comes to term with the reality that he's not going to be able to make Thelma Lou fall in love with him. The scripture I want to reference today comes from Matthew 26, verse 33 and 34, and it says, "At this, Peter exclaimed, 'Even if everyone should lose his faith in you, I never will.' I tell you," Peter replied, "that tonight, before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. This comes from the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament. Just before this, Jesus was meeting with his disciples in what's called the Last Supper. Here Jesus foretold of his death and how everyone would leave him in his last hours. It is at this point that Peter steps up and he tells Jesus that while the others might leave him, Peter said that he would never leave him. And later even tells him that he is willing to die with Jesus. Peter is a perfect example of overconfidence, I think. It's almost like he's telling Jesus that he's better than the other disciples and that he'll be there for him at all times. He's a perfect example of overconfidence, I think. And as the story continues, we find out that after Jesus is arrested, that all the disciples leave him. And when Jesus is being beaten and standing trial, Peter is outside and he's recognized as one of his disciples. And when others call him out on it, he denies him, just as Jesus said he would. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but have you ever been just overconfident? I mean, to the point that you know the exact answer to the question, or you're positive on a statement that you're going to make, just to realize that right after you've said it, that you were completely wrong. I'll admit it, I've done it several times. I remember years ago as a, you know, I'll say a preteen, I was arguing with my dad over something about math, and I made the comment. I said, "I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm an expert on math." Only to realize my mistake as soon as the words come out. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel? He took credit for such a great nation, and God made him to be like the animals, and his kingdom was taken away from him for a period of time. The Bible says that while the word was still in his mouth, that God changed him. That particular story comes from chapter 4 of the book of Daniel. You know, I could go on of other times in my life that my overconfidence has been my downfall, but, well, this isn't the hour-long Mayberry devotional, so I'll have to pass. But I'm sure most of us have embarrassing stories of being overconfident, but hopefully the only thing that was hurt by our overconfidence was our ego. Hopefully there was no really physical pain. You know, how many times has the anthem of, "Hey, y'all, watch this," been exclaimed in the spirit of overconfidence? Well, you know, maybe not as much as a spirit of intoxication. Or is that an inoculation? Well, it's one of those. But anyway, there is a place, I think, for overconfidence. But you really have to put a lot of thought into it. And you have to really think about what you're doing before it comes out. Peter was overconfident at times. And while he did mess up, God was able to use him on the day of Pentecost to reach thousands of believers. Jeff Pruitt was overconfident, and it might have cost him Thelma Lou, but I think that if he did go back and marry Bertha, I think he got somebody that would better fit into the real mold of what he was looking for in a wife. If you've been overconfident and failed before, use this time to see how you can make the best of it. We all want to put our best foot forward at all times, but as a friend of mine says, he says, you've got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. So let's take these broken eggs and see if we can't make the best omelet out of it that we can. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Mayberry Devotional. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and leave me a rating or a comment. I've had a lot of comments in the last little bit, and I appreciate every one of them. I hope you'll join me next week as we look at episode 14 of season 2, The Keeper of the Flame. And until then, thanks for listening.